Okay, 7:05, we're going to talk to our friends from the American Firearms Association. We've got the president, we've got the leftist in Congress, and some governors now just basically looking at the clock. I mean, they are looking at their proverbial watch, Susie, and saying, oh boy, time's running out. The time that we can just shove anything through is running out, and they are really piping up about guns again. I mean, the Supreme Court, you know, said the Second Amendment means what it says, but we're not going to worry about that right now. We got a few weeks to push a bunch of gun control stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So
take advantage of it.
7:05, we're going to get the update from American Firearms Association. 6:38 right now. Got Susie Moore in for Gabe Pfeiffer. One more time, Gabe will be back tomorrow. Ken Williams is here. And let's get an update on the student loan bailout. Or excuse me, student loan forgiveness program that the Biden administration has pushed. Obviously, we know it's tied up in court with multiple lawsuits, but could Missouri in particular be in the place to block this permanently from a legal strategy perspective? We're joined now by Phil Kirpin, friend of the show, with also with American Commitment. Phil, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Now, when you say Oklahoma and Missouri are in a unique position to fight back, what is it that makes it unique for Missouri in particular?
Well, there are nine entities that service direct federal loans, which means they manage the payments and they manage the accounts, and then they get, you know, a percent or two off the top as their compensation. And those entities, those servicing entities, are really by far the best plaintiffs to challenge the Biden administration, because they're directly harmed. You know, if half of the loans that they service are discharged, they make half as much money. It's very simple. And so it's not, you know, any other potential plaintiff had a pretty strained attempt to show that they were harmed. But if any of the nine servicers sued, well, then they have a very strong claim to standing, and you can get to the merits. And of course, what the Biden administration did is very hard to defend on the merits, which is why they've tried to get the lawsuits dismissed on standing. Now, of the nine servicing entities, seven are private companies, but two are state agencies. Those are the Oklahoma Higher Education Loan Authority and the Missouri Higher Education Loan Authority. So, you know, if you sort of looked at the lay of the land, the private entities are pretty unlikely to sue because all of the federal servicing contracts end at the end of 2023. So they set it all up. So it's going to be the same administration, the same education department that grants the next round of contracts. And so the fear, the perception among these companies, of course, is, well, if I sue, then they're going to hate me, and then I'm going to get frozen out of the next round of contracts completely, whether I win or lose. And so none of them are going to sue. But the two that are state agencies, well, they're in pretty conservative states, and, you know, they're controlled by the governors that appoint them and the state senates that confirm them as boards of directors. And so they were, I thought, much more susceptible to political consideration. They might be more willing to sue. As it turned out, neither of those entities was willing to sue in their own name. But what happened is in Missouri, the attorney general sued on behalf of the Missouri Higher Education Loan Authority. And in the initial district court, the judge said that doesn't fly. They have to sue under their own name. The state can't sue on their behalf. But on appeal, the Eighth Circuit said, yeah, absolutely, the state can sue on their behalf. This is a state instrumentality created by state law. The board's appointed by the governor. They're subject to the state sunshine law. This looks like a state agency. You can sue on their behalf. And they put an injunction on the whole student loan bailout program on the basis of that Missouri being in that lawsuit. And there were five other states in that lawsuit, but none of them had very good claims to standing. So Missouri was really the key in that. And that's now the case that is pending at the Supreme Court. And Kavanaugh is the justice that Biden's appeal was referred to. And he's asked for briefing, which means he'll probably refer it to the full court for a decision on whether to take the case or not. But that's where we stand right now. I think that it's very likely that Missouri will prevail in their argument that they have standing to sue on behalf of the Missouri Higher Education Loan Authority, and therefore they will reach the merits in this case. And on the merits, I think Biden has a very, very weak case. And so I'm pretty optimistic that this injunction is going to stay in place, but that's where it is right now.
Phil, you anticipated my follow-up question there, and that was how this dovetails with the suits that are already pending. It sounds like, from what you're saying, that Missouri has the best shot from a standpoint, and that there is some reason to be hopeful that this will eventually make its way to the Supreme Court and be heard by them, and hopefully they will find the program unconstitutional. Where's Oklahoma in this? Have they indicated or signaled, have they joined any of the lawsuits, or are they just sitting back?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I was really hoping that that they would sue as well. And, you know, they've got a very similar situation. They've got a loan authority there that's a quasi arm of the state, but arguably is an arm of the state, just like Missouri does, appointed by the governor, confirmed by the Senate, and so forth. But they never sued. They never sued under their name. I tried pretty hard, actually. The head of their loan authority there in Oklahoma is actually a big conservative donor. So I thought, well, this is like the perfect one. And I tried various angles to reach them. And for whatever reason, they've not sued. They did sign on to an amicus brief in the Missouri case that's pending at the Supreme Court. And so there was like 15 or 20 states that filed an amicus brief supporting the six states that are actually plaintiff states on the lawsuit. And they were one of those. So Oklahoma has now signed an amicus brief, but they've still not filed their own lawsuit.
Good morning, Phil. This is Ken Williams. I'm not a litigator or an economist or anything, but in regard to the loan forgiveness program that Biden wants to institute, if that actually did go through, in the long run, wouldn't that be a windfall for colleges and universities?
Yeah, no question. It would lead to another huge ratchet up in tuitions, particularly for graduate programs, because there are two things that would happen if they were able to put this through. One is there would be an expectation that there would be future forgivenesses of similar amounts, basically any time a Democrat's in, which means the colleges would be able to pitch kids on, take out the maximum loans. You're not going to end up paying them anyway. Forgiveness comes every few years when the Democrats are in, and that would really increase their price. Power. But the other aspect of it is the change to income-driven repayment. Biden wants to change income-driven repayment to be just 5% of disposable income for 10 years, and then your whole loan is discharged. And that change, in particular for graduate programs, where there's no limit to the amount that you can borrow, I think that basically any graduate program other than maybe law school or med school, they're going to look at this and say zero of our students are ever going to pay more than the 5% cap because their earnings are going to be much lower than what we're already charging in tuition. And therefore, no matter how much we increase it, the costs are going to fall on taxpayers, not on our students. And the deans, I think, would lick their lips and they would say, we can jack tuitions up to the moon, and our pitch to students will just be, look, you're going to pay the same 5% of disposable income for 10 years and that's it regardless. So, why not lavish on, more taxpayer money on the school, and we'll have more amenities, and we'll add, even more lavish this, that, and the other thing. And so I think this would be very, very harmful for college affordability, precisely because the colleges would understand that if taxpayers are picking up more of the tab, that means they can make the tab bigger.
We are visiting with Phil Kirpin from American Commitment. I just got about a minute or so left, Phil. The weird thing is, because these lawsuits are essentially based on the Biden administration not having the constitution or legal authority to simply make this decision. I mean, if the Democrats shove this thing through legislatively, there really isn't as much of a challenge, is it?
No, I mean, I think if they pass the law, it would stand up. The irony of this whole thing, of course, is, when they nationalized student lending, it used to be that that the federal government would subsidize loans, but they were all through private banks. And they changed that. They nationalized student lending in 2010, basically in the sidecar bill to Obamacare. It was called the Healthcare and Education Reconciliation Act. And they said, the banks are making all this money in interest. The federal government's going to take it over and it's going to make money for taxpayers. And that's how we're going to help pay for Obamacare. And I think they claimed they're going to make $150 billion or something. And then 3 years later, they said, oh no, we're actually going to lose $200 billion. That was how quickly it was, the government went from, we're going to make money on student loans, so we're going to lose a lot of money. It happened in just a couple of years. And of course, now they would love to lose even more. They would love to intentionally lose $500 billion or $1 trillion just by giving it away. And I think that, if they actually passed a law that said the federal government that holds this debt is no longer going to collect on it, I don't know what basis there would be to challenge that. That said, they obviously don't have the votes to do that. If they had all the Democrats agreeing, it would have been in, the Inflation Reduction Act or something like that. They've got at least some Democrats that balk at that, you know, for political reasons or policy reasons or for what, or whatever, which is why you got a president who's trying to basically steal Congress's power of the purse and spend $500 billion on his own.
All right, Phil Kirpin, American Commitment. Where can we find the op-ed that you wrote? Oklahoma and Missouri can and must stop Biden's student loan bailout. Where is it?
You can get it on AmericanCommitment.org, and we're going to be watching. We might see something from the Supreme Court this week. We'll see what they decide to do on this.
All right, well, we'll probably bug you sooner rather than later then to get an update from you.
All right, sounds good, Mike. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Phil. Thanks, Phil Kirpin from American Commitment. 314-912-1019. So if Congress pushed it through, the Democrats actually stay through, it would probably withstand legal challenge. Yeah. It would still be terrible policy.
Oh, yeah.
But you got a whole different set of things. I think they're fighting to hold on to that executive power as much as anything else.
Right.
That's part of this issue right here. All right, got some thoughts on it. Let's hear it. 314-912-1019. Also, little public service announcement when it comes to those leftover turkey stuff.
Oh.
That's now starting to
congeal.
Yes. It's a very good word for it. That's still ahead on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.